welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Editor. Today I have a fabulous guest who has a two-part title to fulfill. I can say the part, so I will start with my part. We are water. My guest is Stephanie Guest, the director. What's the second part? I cannot say the word.
It's Kotato Tuwai. It's the Tereo Maori translation.
There we go. See, people, I need help occasionally. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's start the very, very beginning of this. You have beautiful shots of landscapes. And I mean, rich in color, wonderful. What time did you get up in the morning to shoot this?
I love that. That's the first question. I can't remember exactly. It was very early in the morning. I would get up before sunrise so that I could be there ready before the light hits and with my tripod. And I was doing tripod and two cameras and a drone at the same time to set up a time lapse and different shots. Well before sunrise.
Hold on. We're going to, you've not been on my show or listened, obviously. We do not let answers go that easily. So we have one tripod. One drone and two cameras.
Two tripods and one drone. So I would set up one camera on a time lapse. I would have the other one to do like close-up shots so that I could sequence or maybe just non-time lapse shots. And then I had the drone as well. The drone that I was working with had a temperamental battery. So it was just quick flights in between shots. But that way I could get that variation to edit in altogether.
So how long did you set up your time lapses for?
Those would only be maybe for 30 minutes. We had this beautiful mist that would roll in and it actually moved quickly. So the time lapses didn't have to be for too long. And it was nice to be able to change shots. So they weren't too long.
Now, did you only do this one day or is this multiple days of shooting?
No, the entire shoot was 10 days for the sunrise with the right conditions. Maybe it was 3 days for that shooting. Also to just make sure I slept because it was also a lot of logging and editing in the evenings after shooting throughout the whole day. But yeah, the whole thing was 10 days. We actually interviewed a lot more people and that's the final product that we ended up with.
Okay. You're saying logging and editing at the end of the day. So what time does your day start?
So I'm trying to remember sunrise at that time, maybe around 6:30 I would get up. And then shoot until the evening. So a 12-hour day easily. And then just logging, backing up footage, getting cameras ready. But I wasn't alone on this. I did sunrise on my own because it was manageable on my own. But I had a great second camera woman who was with me and fantastic.
Okay. So why are you editing at the same time you're shooting? Don't you want to sleep?
Yes, I would love to sleep. But I didn't want to... I wanted to make sure I had the right B-roll for the interviews that we had. I wasn't editing the whole film together, but working with such fantastic people, we kept stumbling across these beautiful stories. And I wanted to make sure that I knew that we had the footage to match that before leaving.
Okay. I want to discuss what cameras were you using? Because you're getting such rich colors. Because you're obviously not using something you picked up at a secondhand store.
No, the film was actually done for my master's degree and with also in partnership with the Center of Sustainability with my university, who is running a separate sustainability project. And they provided the cameras, which were fantastic. There was an FX6, a Sony A7C, and then actually just a DJI Mini, because it wasn't exactly a big budget. We were working with what we had. For the drone.
So this is your thesis project I watched then?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
So doing your thesis, do you have to do everything? Like, are you responsible for editing, the storyline? Everything is you.
I'm in charge of it, but I had a lot of people helping me. My supervisor, she overlooked a lot of it and she set in place the relationships with the community before I could come in and they trusted me and they were phenomenal. And also another producer was someone in the community who helped us on the ground. There was a fellow classmate who helped me shoot. We ended up working with an artist in the community. She did the animations. She did the drawings and then I implemented them into the film. We had music from one of the interviewees, so I was in charge of it. I did a lot of the filming, but it wasn't just me for sure. There were a lot of beautiful people who helped me.
Lots of stuff to pick apart there. Let's start the easy part. So, okay, how did you find these people existed? I mean, this is, I've never heard of them, so obviously there's lots here. I mean, is it a common thing to know about these people, or are they not common to natives?
Oh, you mean like this specific community, these specific
This
characters?
specific community, I mean, I live in Canada. I presume you're New Zealand based.
I'm working elsewhere now.
Okay, so how did you find out about it? Does everybody know they exist?
Well, for Maori, that is like there are a lot of Maori in New Zealand still. They
Okay.
do teach Maori at schools. I don't want to talk on behalf of another culture that isn't mine of how
I'm not
integrated it
asking you to
is
talk
in
about
New
them.
Zealand.
I'm
No,
asking you how
I
you
know, I
know
just
they
want to caveat
exist.
it that way. But everyone does know. But in terms of like this specific community, I didn't know about them. They reached out to the Center of Sustainability because of the films that they were making. And because my supervisor was involved, she's amazingly talented and has done a lot of work, has done stuff with National Geographic. So I think they were excited to do something with all of us together, and to trust us because it's very personal when you're talking one-on-one, on an interview. So that's how it came into play. They contacted the Center of Sustainability to say, we want to share our story around climate change and we want to work with like such impressive people.
How was your
And they came
first experience arriving on the island?
So it wasn't a separate island. It was just in the community,
Okay.
still in New Zealand, but it did feel that way, I guess I should say, because it was such a different world. It was just welcoming off the bat. Since I'm not even Kiwi, let alone Maori, I was very nervous because I don't want to tell someone else's story in a way that doesn't feel true to them. But Mariana, who's in the film, actually moved out of her home and stayed with her sister so we could stay in her home. That kind of thing was they would invite us over for dinner. And the song that we had at the ending credits, we didn't plan that. She just offered that to us and hadn't shared it with anyone else outside of the family before. So that was, if I can summarize the experience, it would be from that. They were just so welcoming and lovely to us the whole time. It was a nice
Okay.
other world.
So, okay, how from where you were based to here, how long does it take to get here?
At the time, I was based in Otago, in the South Island of New Zealand, and that was in Totoro, in the North Island of New Zealand. And it would have been maybe just a couple hours flight, to and then maybe 2 or 3 hour flight and another hour and a half drive. Nothing that crazy to get to, but not really a place that people often visit. There's no touristy attractions, nothing around there. I think most people would just drive through it, but if you stay and get to know the people there, it's really special.
See, now see all that after one answer. So I'm doing well. You
Yes.
discuss music, and it is here very slightly. It does come in, but it comes out. So who did your music, and why did you put it where you did?
The music, so my producer, she and my supervisor, Gianna Savoy, she worked with insanely talented artists. I know it was Lenny Williams and CB Bions, I believe his name was. And she'd worked with them in the past, and they donated music for her and her students. And so I used their stuff, and it was perfect. I could always find what I needed, as well as a bit of just something, a license agreement we had with SoundSnap Online. And then, but apart from that, the other music I mentioned was from Mariana that she wrote herself. And I also implemented sounds of the water from the community. I mean, it wouldn't mean anything to any other audience, but for such a special connection to the water, it felt good to use the place.
I think the water is part of the film. I mean, you keep talking about it. You never, ever let us forget the water is so important to these people. So, the animation, you did bring that up. And I mean, you only see it slightly. If you're not paying attention, I would argue you could miss the animation because it's very quick. Maybe on screen for 2 to 5 seconds, you would have to tell me how long. And it's just little doodles, I would almost call them.
They were beautiful. So to me, I was hoping they would add to the film regardless of your background. Like we had a little butterfly landing on the word grandchildren and flying off when we're talking about future generations. Little things like that I wanted to make the film stand out past its regular regular documentary, and also to, I don't know, bring that sense of magic that I personally felt in the place. But there was also the artist that we work with, was Mariana, one of the main characters, her daughter. And she also added, I kind of tried to give her a lot of artistic flexibility as well. And she added things like a koru, which was this kind of spiral shape, into the hands of who's actually a relative of hers. And that has a beautiful meaning in New Zealand. And so if you're Kiwi, like I had a Te Reo Māori assessor, he would notice those details. But hopefully, even though they are fleeting, whether you're from Canada or wherever you're from, you get that sense of magic that we felt in the place. So that's why we used it.
So when you're doing the film, you said you discussed many people. You've spoken to lots, which I did not see. Why did you choose who you chose?
So one thing is that I love how strong women have a role to play, especially in Totoro and especially in the families that we spoke to. So I really wanted to make sure we had strong female characters. But I didn't feel like I had to push that at all because Mariana and Sarah Jane, two of our characters, spoke so well. I felt awful. Sarah Jane popped in for 10 minutes and we ended up having her for an hour and a half because I couldn't stop speaking to her. She was beautiful. And Mariana wasn't planned either, but we just fell in love with her and she also spoke beautifully. So that was really important to us. Raniere Tafata, he's one of the characters as well. He's one of the producers, so he wasn't planning on being in the film, but he spoke about his connection to the water and about his story as a child and bringing his newborn child to the water, and that was too powerful to pass up. We had a firefighter who's actually very high up in Fire and Emergency New Zealand, so we felt he would be a very strong, like, kind of reality check into climate change. We want it to be personal and beautiful, but also remember this is a real thing that we're facing. So he was brought in as well, and he's from the community and in that family, and he's very well spoken. And then we also had Mitai, who is part of the planning process as well, but he had a beautiful connection to the earth, with what he spoke about as someone who loves his garden. So that's why we brought him in. We had other people that we planned to speak to. Oh, and Vic Tifata, who was an elder in the community, which is really important to give him a voice. And we were also really glad because we tried to encourage freedom between speaking Te Reo Māori, their language, as well as English, which is why we have both languages in the title, and why the languages are used not interchangeably, but mixed throughout, because we're trying to reach that target audience, but we don't want to forget how important the language is to a culture. So we gave each interviewee the freedom to speak with what they wished, and it just ended up being a nice mix of the two. We had other people that we planned, and they were such beautiful speakers, but they had said similar things to our already wonderful characters, or I wouldn't have time to film extra B-roll with them. So it was a bit hard to show their stories as much on camera.
So, were you using the same body of questions for each interviewee?
We would have like main questions, if I can say, to hit certain points. And then if I knew enough information, I would tailor other questions. Like with Raniera, his bringing his daughter to the water, I would ask her him things on that. Vic and Mariana as Vic as an elder and Mariana as like almost the head of her family, having questions about her grandkids and what she sees for future generations. So the main questions, yes, but we would always want to tailor it. But the most important question that I absolutely love asking everybody, my co camera woman would also ask everyone at the end of the interview, as Jana Savoy recommended to us, is to ask what they want to share if we haven't asked the right question. We always wanted to make sure that we're not trying to steer them towards a certain path. And that question, we always like struck gold when we would just ask what they think is important for us to know.
Wow, I feel bad. Should I just let you go do the rest of the interview then? If I missed a question you want to answer
No,
then?
these are
Wow,
great. These are
that was
beautiful.
heavy. That was a heavy question at the end. This is a weird question just because I've seen the film and just I don't want to be going too far. Was your color correction done at all during the film?
Yes, definitely. We
Okay.
shot,
I thought
is
there
it
might
really?
be a few things, and I want to know because it's so beautiful. I'm like, there's got to be color correction here.
Definitely. We shot some of the footage in S-Log, and then also with the cameras being different, we definitely wanted to match it, but definitely some, I don't want to say correction like it wasn't the place, but definitely trying to bring out the beauty of it for sure, and then match the cameras to each other. But stuff
Okay.
like the mix was just always beautiful.
You arrive here day one, so you're on this wherever you are. Do you location scout or do you know where you're going ahead of time because you have local knowledge?
We knew a little bit about two of the areas. But we had like two photos maybe of those areas, and that's
So
it.
no.
So not really. But the producer on site and in the film, he suggested a few places to us. So we did location scout. We drove around a little bit to have a look where we were permitted to go. And that was mainly, but mainly the only places we could go without permission were the things for sunrise shooting anyway. And then from there, they kind of dictated a lot of it.
So you've picked your people. You've done all your interviews. Was there somebody you wanted to interview you couldn't make it to?
Yes, there was another elder, a woman who we still wanted to interview. She had some personal things that come up. So she just wasn't in the right headspace, which I completely respect. And I would have loved to meet her because I have met her because everyone we did meet was fantastic, but we had too many people in the end, so it was okay.
Okay, there's a man, an older fellow, I didn't write down his name, and has a beautiful cane. And you
Yeah.
definitely focus on that cane, but you never talk about the cane. I know that's not part of your documentary, but I was fascinated by this man's cane.
It's stunning, isn't it? Yeah. To be honest, I should have asked him about that. That's probably a question that I missed. I don't know. We had mentioned it, and he was actually very cheeky, which we tried to show in the film. And I think that distracted us. That's going to sound really unprofessional, but I don't know if we did ask him about it. I think he cracked a joke when we mentioned it, and then we just chuckled and moved on,
But
if I remember
I would argue
correctly.
you focus on it in two shots.
Yeah,
When you're
visually.
interviewing him, you definitely go into a close-up shot of that cane. And when he's walking again, you definitely do again show me a full shot of the cane.
Yeah, no, visually it was definitely just in the actual interview. I hadn't thought of it. Also because a lot of his was in Te Reo Māori, but visually it was really important to us because it wanted to remind people of the culture that we're showing and then of his role in the family
So
as
you know
well. He's a
nothing
powerful
more
person.
about the cane,
I
is what I'm
don't know
asking.
anything. That's my way of trying to skirt that question. I
Oh, I'm not
actually
letting you skirt it because I wanted to
I
know
know
more
I should
about
have asked.
it. Okay, we're at the end of the film. You recommend something called Project, I can't say it. King
Yeah.
Kaniga? How what is that? What do you
Project
think
Kainga.
though?
Project Kainga is that I'm just trying to get the spelling. Yeah, Project Kainga, yeah, it's a research program, and that was the one from the Center of Sustainability that I had mentioned that funded the film. So funded us going over, and because it was part of my degree, yes, but also I could have just done something locally. I didn't need to be part of this. And also it's a really beautiful word because it does mean home, which was very fitting in this case, I felt. But yeah, they organized the flight. We needed a car, and they have been trying to promote it, and they do some really incredible work. They did other films to show sustainability that was needed around New Zealand, and are working with the communities on other forms of media and, like, I believe to set up things with meetings and try to move change, create change in New Zealand.
Hey, you are the cinematographer on the film. You sole cinema. Is that your future project for yourself? I know you've
No,
told me there were two,
sorry for you.
but when I read it, it had your name listed in the credits, so I did pay attention. Is this
Okay.
going to be your future career after this? Are you going to be a cinematographer? Are you going to be a director? Or what's your plan to do with your master's?
At the moment, I work full time as a photographer. But I'm about to, I say that next on a week after next or next week. I'm leaving for a cinematography job. So to me, anything camera work. I love storytelling. I love visual storytelling. There's something really powerful behind it. And selfishly, I learn so much by being around other people and learning about their stories. It teaches me a lot and helps me grow. So anything with a camera and anything that's good story. I do definitely love film. I mean, that's where I've come from, but photography has been something really special this past year as well.
Okay, your favorite film?
Whoa, that's an awful question that I should have expected.
Yeah, you've done your research, which you should have done. I ask it every interview.
Yeah, it is, but I always change.
You can
I
change.
really loved, I really loved Everything Everywhere All at Once. I know not everyone loves that film, but that was really.
It's your choice. I don't judge people.
Yeah.
Because you have a very distinct sense of style, I would say, after watching this film. What film do you recommend that's close to your style?
Oh, I most recently watched, oh, that's something I aspire. Kulu, a Pangolin's Journey. It's about a pangolin. It's one of the most trafficked animal on the planet, and it's beautiful.
I'll give you an easy one.
Okay.
Have you ever tried acting, and will you do so in the future?
No, and probably no.
Tell everybody where they can find your work.
At the moment, I have a short documentary on EcoFlix. And otherwise, that's it for the time being. We're trying to run it through film festivals first and then get this one on other platforms, hopefully, after the film festival run.
Awesome. Thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you.